Here, you will hear stories of the unknown, tales of the twisted and terrible that have been silenced. The strange and the transcendent, riddles, secrets. As your guides, we will take you on an expedition where the curtain between worlds is torn. This is The Farthest Reaches.
Hello and welcome back. We are TFR, and we have an exciting announcement for you today.
I'm back, bitches! Woo!
Things have changed.
Again.
Well, first of all, I feel like we should probably be like, hey, we're back.
We are back.
TFR. It's been a year.
It has been.
Well,
no, it hasn't been a year for you guys. It's been a year for me, almost to the day.
Like 9 months for us? I don't know. A lot of shit has happened.
It has.
Okay. I have reevaluated my life. Getting a little personal here. I've gone to the doctor. I'm 30 years old. And last year, for the first time ever, Matt went to the doctor on his own.
Ooh, look at you.
Put my big boy pants on. And I bent down and ripped them because I'm fat. But they were fun while they lasted. They kept me cozy. However, your boy's got depression, so I'm taking that lightly.
Welcome to my life.
Yeah, I'm working on that too. What else happened in my life while I was gone? Because people cared. They want to know. We didn't give them any updates. We're so sorry for that. No one knew anything. You get maybe a random post in the group of like, I don't know, a woman that reads bacon grease as fortunes. But
I was going to say, I made my departing message.
You did. Now you have to make your undeparting message.
Yeah, I guess I should explain what happened within the last year.
Do it, man.
It's nice. I'm not working like 16-hour days anymore, so yeah. I am able to actually like focus back on stuff that I love.
Mm-hmm.
Because all work and no play was making Josh a very dull boy.
Yeah. So, Cassandra and Brittany have split. They are no longer part of this podcast.
They have other things that they are focusing on.
Absolutely. And so it just happened to work the right way. Once they decided, you know, this kind of isn't our thing, Josh came in and was just like, hey, my life's kind of getting a little bit more on track. And if you would like, you know, let's bring the bromance back. You know, the boys are back in town.
We still can't get Brady back. He's being a bitch.
Oh. Josh said it, not me.
Just kidding. I love you, Brady. Doubt you're listening, but we love you.
So what else has happened in your life this past year?
Well, let's see. I quit one job.
Wow.
I got a new car.
Cool.
I got a new phone.
No,
so, I was like super updated. Like, cause I was like living in the past, had like a 6-year-old phone and a fucking super old car. And now I've got an updated phone and a cop hit me. So I got a new car. So, you know, life has been wild. And yes, you heard that correctly. I got hit by a cop. I mean, it worked out that I got me a new car, but that call to the insurance was fun.
You know, taxpayer dollars go to that cop, right? You know, you basically paid him to hit you, right?
Pretty much, yeah.
You know what I did do, though? And a lot of people aren't very happy with it, more specifically my parents. Your boy got snip, 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 snip.
Hey, you know what? It happens.
No kids for me.
You can't end up with a kid like me. Who I was an accident baby.
What?
I didn't mean to like.
Okay.
I didn't mean to make it sound like I had a kid. But no, you don't want to have an uh-oh baby like I was.
Yeah, that's true. I don't want to have a Josh.
I wouldn't either.
Yeah. Well, the weird thing was, while I was sitting on the table and the doctor was ever so gently sterilizing me with one hand, he goes, well, in order to find your, I think, adifference tube, I think is your semen passageway that he had to cut and tie for me. He's like, it's going to be a little difficult to find because you have average or smaller than average scrotum. And I was like, you take that back. How fucking dare you tell me that?
I'm like, already... I know my balls are in your hand, but goddamn.
Yeah, and he took his pinky and was like, with my penis, like, ah, we got this. I'm like, how dare you comment on the size of my testicles, sir?
Yeah.
He did put my underwear back on me, though. That's cute. Nice of him to dress me.
That's cute. But, yeah, other than, like, all that, the only other thing that's happened within the year that I've been gone, just rediscovering things that I love doing. Like, I've, like, rediscovered my love for, like, pro wrestling. So, like,
ooh.
I've gone to, like, a couple months back, me and my dad went to our first, like, WWE event.
Cool.
That was fun. And then, like, a month later, I went to my first AEW event with a buddy of mine, which is, like, AEW is, like, the other big wrestling promotion out now. And then I've been kind of working on, like, a story, like, characters for a story idea that I have no idea what the fuck I'm going to do with. But
oh, interesting. Okay, cool.
That's about it.
Look at you. Look at you go, yeah, man.
It's been a wild year.
Never stop going.
I try not to.
That's what I'm going to get on a shirt. Never stop going.
Okay. I like that.
I do, too. That's why I came up with it.
But I am excited to be back. I've missed this. Like I told you at the party that really this whole conversation came up about, like, I have missed doing the podcast. And
yeah,
I've been thinking about coming back. And I was like, you know, once I quit my other job, well, my first job, because the venue is the second job. When I quit the retail job, because fuck them, I walked out on them. I felt good about it. I felt really good.
Now we're here. We got this amazing energy flowing through us. It's still kind of the beginning of 2023.
I'm excited.
Brittany and Cassandra, farewell. Thank you for everything that you've done. Their project signing off. It's been so long since I've done that.
Don't come full circle. It started with us and Brady, and then now it's back to
us. It was us three, and then it was just you and I, and then it was you, I, and Cassandra.
Uh-huh.
You, I, Cassandra. And then not you, and then Cassandra, Brittany, and I, and now it's back to you and I. Are people going to think there's an issue with me? I just keep rotating through vessels.
You problem.
Apparently it is a me problem that I am not aware of. Well, I guess I got to go to the doctor for that too. Why the hell not?
No, I had no issues with anybody. It was just my life being in the way. Because, I mean, like I talked to you before I quit, like between the retail job and the venue job, and I was working like both of them. By the time I'd get home, I'd be like, oh, fuck, that was like a 16-hour day. So I had no energy to do anything. So I was like, you know what? That's not good. I'm not going to put that on the podcast because I don't want to dampen that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I was like, you know what? Mm-hmm. I'm gonna leave.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And now I'm back.
Better than ever.
I am.
Yeah? Good.
I think so.
Good. I don't know if I am. I feel like I'm worse. But I don't know. So, TFR. What do we plan to do with TFR? What we plan to do, I would say, just about anything that we had planned in the last, what now? Almost 4 fucking years?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I didn't like that. End of 2019.
Is that when we put the first episode out?
Yeah, October of 2019. Yeah.
That's right.
Because we did it before the pandemic hit and everyone outside the podcast. So
that's true. We were ahead of the curve.
Oh, we were ahead of it. Okay?
Oh, yeah, that's right. Because we put out the first episode on October 31st and then you had to fix something. So it looks like we put out the first episode November 1st.
And that pisses me off because I don't know what the fuck I did wrong.
Oh, something, if I remember correctly, something was spelled wrong and you went to edit it in like
it was sanitarium.
Info. Yeah. And then Spotify or whatever we used was just like, oh yeah, by the way, here's your first day.
You fucked up this critically acclaimed podcast. How fucking dare they?
But we're back.
For pennies.
And it's going to be fucking good because we have something exciting coming up that's really only going to be relevant for like 2 days, 3 days maybe when this episode releases. But it's going to be fun to talk about afterwards.
That just means our hardcore listeners that are waiting for that update from Spotify saying,
TFR released a new episode.
They're like, oh, fuck yeah!
People are going to get that.
They'll
alert.
They'll
know. Be like, oh, I forgot about that.
They'll know. And then we'll see that one person Saturday, March 4th. And sorry to my mom in advance, because if you have birthday plans on Saturday, no, fuck you. March 5th is her birthday.
Oh, yeah. That's
she's
right.
Turning a very young 16. 69? I think it's 69. Yes. 69. Yeah. My mom's turning 69. She had cancer. So, Joshua.
Uh-huh?
What is happening on March 4th, 2023?
The inaugural Mothman. Fuck, I fucked it up.
Do over. God damn it.
The inaugural Loveland Frogman Festival.
First episode we're back on.
Listen.
The inaugural. I hate that word. Inaugural. Whatever.
I got the name right. It is the Loveland Frogman Festival. Like, that's
Loveland
all it is, right?
Frogman Festival. First of its kind. 2023. March 4th. I think doors are what? 9:30, 10 o'clock to like 6. Come see a whole bunch of different vendors, like podcasters or artists. You said puppets? There'll be puppets there.
That's what the flyer says.
MetaZoo will be there.
Yeah, it starts at 9:30 a.m., ends at 6 p.m. There is VIP entry is at 9 a.m.
Oh.
And there's an after party at Cartridge Brewing. So, you know, come hang out.
Nah, bro.
The after party 6 p.m. to close, so fuck
oh.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We're all going to get fucking drunk and just, I don't know, what are we going to do? Find a pond, swim around, find toads there, find frogs there,
find
the Loveland
Frogman. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Capture one and, like, I don't know, duct tape a little wand to him. yeah, so the inaugural Loveland Frogman Festival 2023.
It's going to be a good time. Look at us starting the podcast back and then immediately having a booth at a con. Because really, that's what started this. Is I saw the announcement and I was like, I'll help out if you need an assistant at the con. And then it kind of led to us talking about getting the podcast back together.
And even at the time of this recording, there's so many people that know I'm interested in the con and know of the con, but they don't know I'll be there doing this at the con.
Yep.
And this is literally going to be sitting in a seat with some random stuff on the table, and you have to come up and talk to me.
Yeah, we're going to be...
Josh is optional.
We're going to be promoting the podcast. We don't have anything to sell. We're just going to be like, hey, listen to our podcast, please.
We're not going
to
be speaking. We're not going to have a mic in front of us. Yeah, I mean, unless something happens, I don't know, but I'm sure it won't. We'll just be sitting there, twiddling our thumbs, and people will go by, and they'll kind of puck up their lips a little bit and nod.
You're like, oh, two dudes
and then
in
keep
a
moving.
Two dudes in a podcast. How original.
Wow, look, yeah, the other 56 vendors are the exact same. I'll flip a fucking table. I don't care. You said you've seen some WWE and AW or whatever. I mean, you could lay down some moves if you need it.
Yeah, I've seen some people.
I get you a chair.
I've seen some people go through some tables.
Oh, yeah. but yeah, that's going to be super duper fucking exciting. And if you love the Loveland Frogman, if you love just this world of cryptozoology in general and whatnot, come check it out.
Yeah,
March 4th.
And hopefully, you know, if you're listening to this, I don't know, in like December. And
well, then you're just, fucking stupid.
Hey, people will
late
find
to the party.
People will find the podcast after and party. Like listen to old episodes. Maybe that hopefully this con will be like a new yearly thing so you can come next year.
Okay, I take it back. I take it back. Fine.
So. Matthew.
Yeah, what's up?
On this first episode back.
Yes.
What are we talking about?
Loveland Frogman. What's that? You've already heard that from TFR? Well, you have. You have. And that was back in the day when I would say I wanted to make this podcast where we really went in deep, at least as deep as we could, deeper and deeper and deeper. You looking at the date?
Uh-huh.
It was 2020.
Yep.
But
June 16th, 2020 is when you put that episode out.
What was that, our fourth or fifth episode probably?
There was a few episodes.
And it's like 45 minutes.
It was our 10th episode.
Oh my God. Uh-huh. It was our 10th episode?
Yeah.
Oh, what a shitty episode. It was fun. It was fun. But when I look at the information, I'm like, yep, that's pretty much just the same regurgitated shit I see anywhere. But
we were still learning.
We were still learning. And
we had Brady. It was all Brady's fault. He's not here to defend himself. I'm just going to keep throwing him under the bus.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with that.
I keep looking at where he used to sit, even though this is not where this table used to be when he was here.
Oh, yeah. God, this place is a fucking mess.
HeroScape is taking over our fucking recording studio.
It probably helps dampen the sound.
Probably. All the little...
So, hey, that's an argument to keep it up year-round. So, McSander's like, please, for the love of God, get rid of that. I'm like, yeah, no, I'm an evil wizard. And I got to kill this evil fucking troll hiding underneath that bridge right there. Back in the day, we wanted the podcast to be a little more kind of a deep dive type of podcast, especially if the topic allowed it. And I don't think the Loveland Frogman episode really did that justice. But like you said, we were learning. And now to kind of celebrate a little bit of a comeback for us and to celebrate the Frogman Festival that's coming up, we are going to not necessarily redo, but we are going to add to our first Frogman episode, kind of an addendum. You know, we found out a lot more information that we think is pretty interesting, if not in some ways pivotal to the case. But as I like to think of it as a TFR fashion. You know, if I find a lot more information about any and all of these cases, I will gladly do more episodes on it, just like Roswell. The following year, we did a revisited one because I found a lot more information, and I will keep doing that until my computer dies.
And we should also state, you know, Loveland Frogmen are important to us because they're local, one of our local legends. So.
Absolutely. And with the train derailment in East Palestine, I'm sure the chemicals in the water will make a lot more.
Fucking A.
Yeah. Our hearts go out to you, East Palestine.
Fucking everything, because goddamn, that just fucked up all the wildlife. Spy balloons and derailments. Started 2023.
Yeah, like I didn't have that on my bingo card.
Emo band, like, album name.
Spy balloons and what?
Spy balloons and train derailments.
Train derailments? Jesus Christ. That sounds like a Devil Wears Prada song title name.
I was going to say another Ohio band, Hawthorne Heights. So,
you know. Oh, yeah. There you go. There you go.
There's their new album.
So, in case anyone's wondering if this is an episode about the Loveland Frogman you first came in on, what is the Loveland Frogman? Why are we celebrating this?
It is a frog person in Loveland.
Oh, nuh-uh. Now, what makes you say that?
Because people are very creative with these cryptid names.
So, the Loveland Frogman, as you could guess it, hails from Loveland, Ohio. And the frogman is a frogman. It's just a bipedal frog. I'm not sure if there's really anything technically human about it, except that it just walks on its two legs.
Motherfucker, it's got a wand. What other animal do you see with a wand?
I'm sure beaver uses a stick.
This is true. I love watching videos of, like, beavers when, like, at, like, zoos or parks or whatever, and they're carrying, like, their little carrots and shit.
Hell yeah. God, could you imagine 50,000 years ago when there was giant beavers? They would just carry, like, tree trunks around. Bam, bam, bam! I wonder if giant beavers with tree trunks, they played whack-a-mole. I would.
It'd be fun.
I would. I'd beat the shit out of every small animal I could find if I was a giant beaver with a tree stump. Or not stump, but trunk.
I forget which park I was at, but I was hiking, and there was trees like along the trails where you could tell beaver had been like eating the tree.
Just did you look at it and go, damn? Carved.
No, because it wasn't a dam.
Fine.
He was in the process of making it.
Whatever. Did you see a toad and you go, totally.
No.
Okay. I'll come up with more. Okay. So the frogman, yeah, it's this bipedal cryptid that basically resembles, I would say, maybe 90% of a frog. The other 10% is a human, and that's just because the feet are on the ground in bipedal formation. And it's about 3 to 4 feet tall. It had like kind of a rough, leathery type of skin texture to it. I've heard kind of greenish gray type of coloring with it. Big bug eyes, big kind of just flat straight line for a mouth. Like you could, you know, obviously think of what a frog looks like and just imagine that running on two legs, which is kind of terrifying. But
a little bit. Do you think if it ran, it had like the little like flap, 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 flap?
Oh, kind of like if you had like flippers, like you were swimming in, you try to run on like a porch, like a deck.
Yeah.
Yes, I do. I think you could hear that fucking thing coming a mile away.
It's terrifying.
See, it's terrifying to think of it that way, but I see so many like frog drawings and just artwork these days.
They're
and,
adorable.
Like, yeah. And I'm like, is it really that scary? Because we don't know what its intentions were.
I like that there's so much artwork just because of the wand aspect that people are like, you know what? Give it a wizard hat.
Yeah. And a cape.
I love it.
Yeah. And so it took place kind of around like Madeira Loveland Road in Loveland. A couple of the sightings were like on the corner of, I think it's, might have been Madeira Loveland Road and like Twaitwee Road. Oh yeah, I know that word, Twaitwee.
Twaitwee.
Twaitwee. Yeah, Twaitwee.
Twaitwee.
That's fun. Where do you live? I'd rather not say. There's three main incidents that you've probably heard about if you know anything about the Loveland Frogman. Two is about from a police officers in 72, yep. I believe, and the first one, at least that we're aware of, is in 1955 from a unknown businessman.
Yeah.
As we've been told.
Nothing's more credible than a businessman.
Yeah.
An unnamed businessman.
So this stretches back to at least 1955. So it's been going on for more than half a century. But now the frogman has made a return. What other information could we possibly know on this bipedal mysterious amphibian?
Yeah, because the last thing I had heard, the most recent, was back when like Pokemon Go was a thing.
That's true, in 2016.
And that picture was very interesting.
It's creepy.
It is creepy.
Especially the thing
I don't know how much I believe that one, but...
Well, as far as I can tell, it's a hoax. I mean, just about every outlet that I come across. It is a fun... It's a cool hoax.
And it is one of those things, because, I mean, like, when Pokemon Go was a thing, I even remember us talking. We were like, oh, people are going to find all kinds of weird shit. And it happened.
Oh, yeah. Dead bodies and something really cool, something kind of archaeological, like... old ruins of something, or maybe a lost, I don't know, cellar to something. I don't know. I thought there was something like that I saw, at least around here. But it was cool nonetheless.
And then there was us that just went and played by like the Red Stadium.
Yeah, we just hung out there all day and just spun stops and fought people and raided and was like, yep, that's it. That's all I want to do. Yeah, I think the people in 2016, they were like, yeah, we were playing Pokemon Go, catching Pokemon, and then we noticed one creature that wasn't on our map. And I'm like, okay.
So I pulled up the picture from like that most recent Loveland Frogman, and it is an interesting photo. I mean, if you look at the body, it's like, I could kind of see maybe amphibian, but the fucking eyes are weird.
You know what that is?
What?
That's a capsizing car. Someone drove their car into that lake, and it's slowly, with the front end, going straight down into the water. That's why you see the eyes. Headlights are on. So they just witnessed a murder, and they didn't do anything about it. They claimed they didn't know anything about the Loveland Frogman until they went home and told, like, their, I don't know, grandmother or so about it. And they're like, oh, yeah, sit down for this. Let me tell you. And basically, it was a story like SpongeBob. Once upon a time, there was an ugly barnacle. It was so ugly, everyone died. Okay, so let's go ahead and get into the meat and potatoes of this. Let's go ahead and get into the frog legs of this, okay?
Have you ever had frog legs?
I have not.
They're good.
Are they?
That's all I got.
Interesting. So today, we are taking a look into some of the investigative work from ufologists Isabel Davis and Ted Bloker, as detailed in their book, Close Encounters at Kelly and Others of 1955, which was published by CUFOS, which is the Center of UFO Studies. We will also be looking into some of the information brought forward by American ufologist and director of CRIFO, which is Civilian Research Interplanetary Flying Objects,
Jesus,
Leonard Stringfield, and some often overlooked details about the lore of the Loveland Frogman from the book It Came from Ohio by James Renner.
Hell of a name. Came from Ohio. There's a lot of fucking weird shit around here.
That's true. And there's things in this book that I've absolutely like never heard of. Obviously, I've heard of Mothman.
Is that a whoopee cushion for your fucking bookmark?
It is. And it works exactly how it's intended to. I was reading this last night, and I told Cassandra, I was like, I'm going to go up and lay in bed. You'll know when I'm done. And then it was just silence, and all of a sudden just... she goes, good night. But like... where is Al? Yeah, you have something about the Werewolf of Defiance, Loveland Frogman, Mothman Cometh, Bigfoot's Lair. What was the one that I... what happens on Rattlesnake Island stays on Rattlesnake Island. I have no idea what that is.
Anything in there about the indescribable Octoman? Because that was from around this area, and a lot of people sometimes contribute that to the Loveland Frogman, too.
Do they? Mm-hmm. No, I don't see that in here. There are a couple of UFO incidents like Cops and Aliens, the flying saucer named Floyd, and the many lives it ruined. Yep, that's in here. But it's a very short read. It only has literally like 110 pages, and it has 15 subjects in it. So it doesn't go too in-depth, but there was a little bit of knowledge in there that I had no idea previously. I
love it.
So that was worth it to me.
All right.
I think I bought it on Amazon for like $7.
Fuck yeah.
Fuck yeah.
We like that.
I love it. I love being cheap. So, what if I told you, Josh, that there was more to this unnamed businessman and that the original 1955 sighting of the Loveland Frogman was actually fairly well documented with more details than we previously thought?
I'd say you were full of shit, sir.
Would you? I would say 2 hours ago you were right.
You and your fucking snake oil pitch.
So, enter, at the time, the Loveland police chief, Mr. John K. Fritz, who was interviewed by our ufologist here, Ted Bloker, and, one of the authors of Close Encounters of Kelly and other and something of 1955. So Fritz details how this encounter was known as the Honeycutt encounter at Branch Hill, or the Branch Hill encounter. He starts off by telling us that around 4 a.m. on May 25th, 1955, Fritz heard someone pounding on his front door to his home. Upon answering, he saw Robert Honeycutt, visibly shaken, standing in his doorway. After stepping inside and trying to gather himself the best he could, Honeycutt introduces himself and explains why he is standing in the police chief's living room.
Hi, Mr. Honeycutt.
Hi. Hi, can I get a fix? Honeycutt was driving northeast through Branch Hill in Sims Township on the Madeira-Loveland Pike. The headlights from his car catching what looked to be a group of quote-unquote strange little men along one side of the road and their quote-unquote backs to the bushes. With curiosity getting the best of him, he pulled over and got out of the car. But now, according to the police chief, Fritz, the witness claimed to see quote-unquote fire coming out of their hands and that a quote-unquote terrible odor permeated the place.
Listen, they hang around the water of Ohio. Leave them alone.
It's full of polyvinyl chloride now.
A fucking, even before the derailment, the Ohio River once caught fire, so.
I went down when I was younger with my parents to some restaurant on the Ohio River, and right next to, like, the parking lot was basically, like, the shore. What'd you call it, a shore? I guess.
Sure.
To a river? No? I don't know the correct terminology, if there is one. And I swear to God, I'm looking at something maybe 30 or so feet out in the water that must have been shallow enough for whatever this was to be visibly a little bit out of the water. And I'm looking at it, I'm like, is that even something? And I'm like, you know, playing in the water, like grabbing like little shells and shit and just kind of throwing rocks because I was 10. But I started to walk out a little bit for fun towards whatever that was, but not really thinking anything of it. And all of a sudden, you ever seen a Komodo dragon run? How they have their feet kind of sticking out of their body and they're like, kind of like that, back and forth. That's what it did back into the water.
Don't like that.
Love them, Frogman.
Also, I just want to state, you bet. 10 years old, you were hanging out in the Ohio River. That's why you have small scrotum. It all makes sense. Don't swim in the Ohio River.
Smaller than average. Okay? Smaller than average. I debated, really, calling back my urologist and be like, you take back what you said, because that is, my life is so fucked up because of that now. I can't go to sleep anymore. I constantly just stay up all night looking at it. Grow. Oh, God. I try to shove a fucking air pump up my pistol and I'm like, come on, give me something. And all right. So.
God, I missed you.
Robert Honeycutt arrived. His headlights graced these strange little men that were probably just, I don't know what they were doing. There's a million thoughts in my mind, and I don't want to speak on any of them. So he saw some kind of, quote-unquote, again, fire coming out of their hands and a terrible odor. Now, becoming more and more frightened by each passing second, Honeycutt jumped back into his car and drove straight to the police chief's home, which I got to say is an interesting part of the story because I feel like you don't get that too much. It's like they run back home and then they don't speak about it or whatever for a fucking year. And then they're like, okay, I guess I'll tell the truth. Mm-hmm. You know, this guy just went straight to the person who probably could do, I don't know, the best type of investigative work at that moment. And it was their job.
Yep.
And gladly, you know, he might have been a little, you know, weary of the man's story, but he couldn't shake the fact that Honeycutt, you know, truly seemed terrified. He's like, well, something really disturbed him. So Fritz decided to actually do his job. And I don't mean actually as in he never did. I'm just saying there's a lot of stories out there where everyone's like, nah, you were just dreaming. No, you were drunk. You've been drinking a lot of meth. I saw you do a line out in my driveway, you know, something like that. So Fritz decided to go down there and investigate. Now, he found nothing peculiar whatsoever. But he wanted to check it out for himself. And if he did see what was there, he told Honeycutt that, yeah, I was going to, quote, try to talk to them and to find out where they come from, end quote. And I can't do enough. I gotta give it applause. Thank you, Mr. Fritz, for actually doing your job. So now Ted Blocher and Leonard Stringfield were able to find Robert Honeycutt and meet up for an interview.
Ooh.
Yes. Now, during their extensive talk, Leonard made a drawing of the creatures under Honeycutt's supervision. And Josh, if you'd like to take a look at this, this is the Branch Hill aliens that were drawn.
Oh, my God.
I don't know. I don't know. Are they like trapeze artists? What is that?
Why are they shaped like fucking chicken nuggets?
Which one, though?
All of them. What is happening?
No, are we talking about Wendy's chicken nuggets? Or no, McDonald's? We have like have like the boot. We have like, you know, the heart or whatever.
Also, why are they wearing fucking Devo hats?
I don't know. Maybe it was Devo.
Oh my God.
They were looking for a place to film their fucking music video, man.
What era was Devo around?
Not 1955, I'll tell you that.
Origin, Kent, Ohio, 1972. I didn't realize.
Wait a minute.
Devo was from Ohio.
Kent, Ohio in 1972.
Uh-huh.
Which is the same year as the other incidents following
fucking
the police
Devo
officer.
Devo was the frogman.
Devo might just be the Loveland Frogman.
Goddamn, look at us just breaking. I mean, Kent, Ohio is a lot further away from.
Oh, that doesn't matter.
Loveland, but I know all that water kind of connects, so.
Yes, It does.
Hmm. Look at us just fucking.
Making connections where there doesn't need to be any.
Yep.
Oh, God, I'm burping. In this interview with Honeycutt, he states that he was returning from home from work as a maitre d' of a local Cincinnati restaurant. Good for him. Around 3:30 a.m., he was driving along the Madeira to Loveland Pike in the vicinity of Hopewell Road at Branch Hill in Sims Township. As he came over a rise in the road, his headlights lit up what he thought at first were just three men. Whippy good. Kneeling down in the grass on the right side of the road.
I'm trying to put myself in this scenario because we'll post this picture. We have to.
Of course.
Because, I'm just imagining like my headlights hitting these. He's not an artist.
Leonard String. No, not at all. The thing is, he was drawing that under Honeycutt's supervision. So Honeycutt is to blame as well because he was going, yeah, that's good.
Yeah, okay, you know what? Yeah, let's give him the benefit of the doubt. Maybe he was nervous. I would be terrified if I saw this.
Yeah, well, I guess it depends like what they are. Like if I saw a human like that, I'd be fine. I think I'd be fine. But if it was like a fucking lizard person, I'd be like, all right, I guess I should probably scream or something. Maybe someone will come help me.
Like, why are the faces like fucking the Canadians from South Park?
I don't. Well, that's what they kept talking about. They had big round heads and then just like a straight line for the mouth. And it was like literally a Canadian from South Park.
Yeah. I like how it's holding up the wand like, ha ha, ha ha.
It makes me think of just like monkeys when they get like a stick if they're around others and they'll actually appear in the back.
That's what it looks like.
It is, except it's Devo. They have some explaining to do.
It's literally off the top of my head, all I know about Devo is their hats and Whip It. I'm sure there's more songs that I know, but I just can't think of it right now.
Yeah, I decided to look up their discography and see if there was a song that said, "We are the Loveland Frogmen," but there's not. Though there is one that says, "Are we not men? We are." Oh, never mind. That's the album. We are Devo. Playing Hands, Space Junk. Okay. Oh. Interesting. What about Jocko Homo? I don't even know what the fuck that means. Gut feeling, slap your mammy. What is wrong with shrivel up? Oh, good. So they're on the train of talking about my little balls, too. I'm done with that. Honeycutt's first impression was that it was just three crazy guys kneeling down praying. But upon a further look, you know, he looked with his special eyes. These were not men that he was staring at. The figures were short, about 5'3", with a beard and a backwards cap.
You suddenly feel like attacked.
Too soon. No, they were about 3.5 feet in height, so you were colossal to them.
Listen, you're telling me personal things about you that I am just going to leave my back pocket to attack you with one day. Watch what you say.
You should actually attack me, like in public. Yeah. So the figures were short, about 3.5 feet in height, and they stood in a triangular position facing the opposite side of the road, with one figure a little bit closer than the other two that were flanking behind. The closer entity raised up its arms over its head. For freedom! No, it appeared to Honeycutt that the creature was holding a rod, maybe a chain. Sparks, blue and white in color, about 2 to 3 at a time, were seen jumping back and forth from one hand to the other just above and just below the rod.
Makes me think of Doodlebug from SpongeBob with the pencil.
Me, Hami Nine. With those drawings, definitely Doodlebob. Uh-huh. Or Doodle Devo or something. Honeycutt believed that these strange beings were concentrated on something on the other side of the road, yet Honeycutt couldn't possibly make out anything if that was the case. It just seemed that way.
What if it was a Loveland Frog woman and they were just trying to impress it with its rod?
Maybe. It had the biggest rod.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like the alpha male.
It's possible.
And the other two were just there for moral support. Like, you got this, Greg. You yeah, got maybe. It, Greg. Yeah, you inseminate that other Loveland Frog. So as Honeycutt got out of his car, the creature with the electric baton, I guess, lowered its arms and near his feet appeared to release whatever it had been holding. Was it lifting weights? I don't know.
I'm very confused.
But whatever it was holding its arm, it bent down to its legs and seemed to drop whatever it was holding. And Honeycutt says it, quote, looked as if he tied it around its ankles, end quote. Now, once Honeycutt was out of the vehicle, the being slowly turned toward him. Kind of motionless in a way, just like almost like turning a mannequin in a department store, just so lifeless and void. This is when Robert got a good look at these things. Three humanoids. They're grayish in color. The grayish color is approximately the same shade of gray with their heads as their garments, because apparently they were wearing some type of clothing, at least as that picture shows. But I guess it was just kind of all one sort of like monotonous type of color. He says, quote, they were fairly ugly. So, good job, Honeycutt.
Be a dick.
Yeah, be a dick. A large straight mouth without any apparent lip muscles crossed nearly the entire lower portion of their faces, which reminded Honeycutt of a frog, which is the only piece of information in this entire encounter that you will hear to where it seems like these things are a frog. The nose was indistinct. The eyes seemed to be more or less normal. No eyebrows that he could see. The head was bald and appeared to have rolls of fat running horizontally across the top, rather like the corrugated effect of a doll's painted on hair, except that there was no difference in color. So I guess it was just gray as well. The most remarkable feature was the upper torso. The chest was decidedly lopsided. I don't know why it's written decidedly lopsided. Like, did they choose to look like that? It's like, I want to look like a fucking lollipop that someone just licked one side of the entire fucking time. Please, dear God. On the right, it swelled out in an unusually large bulge that began in the armpit and extended down to the waist. The arms seemed to be at uneven lengths, right longer than the left. The garments seemed to be of one piece, but below the waist, they were a little bit loose-fitting. Looked like fucking parachute pants.
Oh, it's fucking MC Hammer.
It is fucking MC Hammer. He could see no feet. The figures were standing in 6-inch tall grass. And when Honeycutt decided to move a little bit closer, the creatures mimicked his movements and moved in a little bit closer as well. In which he said, fuck it! And got back in his car and drove to the police chief's house.
You know, part of me, like, this leads me to somewhat believe his story, because I feel like if he made this up, he would come up with something that makes way more fucking sense than that fucking picture.
Yeah, and you'd think he would possibly make something, like, I would say typically if I'm going to try and make something up to you on the spot, I'm probably going to grab from different sources that's been circulating, at least in the media,
yeah,
or perhaps film prior.
Yeah.
So, you know, like a typical lizard man, 6 feet tall, leathery or scaly kind of skin, you know, claws like that. But no, he described...
Yeah, like
a sentient balloon. Like, I don't.
Yeah, that's something that I've never seen.
No.
Ever.
Mm-mm.
So, it does kind of lead me to believe he saw something.
What? I would like to say
what? I have no idea.
It was that.
Well, yeah.
What was that?
That I have no idea what the fuck that is.
No one does. So when he got back into his car, right before, you know, hauling ass out of there to the police chief's home, that's when he smelled this odd, strong odor. And he describes it as a combination of, quote, fresh-cut alfalfa with a slight trace of almonds, end quote.
All right.
I couldn't do that in a million years.
Interesting.
Were they like, no, you're late for your aromatherapy session? I don't even know. I think alfalfa is a little like herbal.
Yeah.
Kind of. Sort of. Maybe kind of a flowery smell. I'm not too sure.
I was
going to
say, is
I'm
it
not...
like, because I don't think it's like that onion grass that you smell sometimes when people mow.
No, I don't think it's that. I know what almonds smell like, but.
I know what almonds smell like too.
Yeah.
Those
were the two things on his mind. He was like, got it.
Huh.
So that is actually, as I stated before, that's the Branch Hill encounter, which.
It's very interesting because I have never heard this part of the story.
Mm-hmm.
The way that the creatures are described definitely puts me more on the side of like alien.
Mm-hmm. Nothing about that except the South Park Canadian mouth,
yeah,
as we put it, is frog-like at all.
Maybe the leathery skin, but yeah, that's about it.
Mm-hmm. So that is, again, the first initial, like when we first did the Loveland Frogman, we looked up, what site did we use for one of our sources? It's like kind of the typical, like, cryptid fandom wiki type of site. And it'll say an unnamed businessman in 1955, blah, blah, blah. Well, this is that guy.
Robert
Honeycutt is that guy. And this is exactly how his encounter went.
He is that guy. That guy. He's the guy.
So here are some possible related sightings to this whole ordeal. I'd like to kind of briefly cover here. So CRIFO, the Civilian Research Interplanetary Flying Objects thing, had a newsletter, and it was called The Orbit. Now, on September 2nd, 1955, of The Orbit, Leonard Stringfield, who, you know, is one of our ufologists and who drew that lovely picture of ancient Devo, described this humanoid encounter that is referred to as the Bridge Case.
Quick question. When was the first frogman encounter? It was the 50s, right? 55, okay.
Mm-hmm.
The only reason I ask is because I brought up the whole indescribable Octoman.
Sure.
Just since we're talking about cases that kind of connect, if you are very curious about this case, I highly recommend listening to episode 38 of the Kryptonaut podcast because they dive deep into the indescribable Octoman. The only reason is Rob Morphy, he went in and he's like, you know, maybe he's the one first person that I heard kind of possibly connect, be like, hey, maybe because. In the indescribable Octoman, they don't really have like a way to describe what they saw. Like,
no way.
But it takes place in 1959 around the Ohio River.
Mm-hmm.
So who knows? Maybe it is connected. Well, but yeah, definitely check that episode out. Check out the Kryptonaut podcast in general. They're one of my favorite cryptid podcasts because goddamn, they do some deep dives into some fucking very lesser known creatures. But
it's interesting how there are a fair amount of like water dwelling amphibious type of cryptids that reside around Ohio.
Yeah.
And just since we're talking about, you know, in or near the Ohio River and around whatever, yada, 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 I did take the time to look into the tributaries for the Ohio River and how it spans practically, I think it was like six states.
Yeah.
That it could, you know, go off and into. And then even the drainage basin, for the Ohio River is a fairly large area that even goes all the way down to about the northern part of Georgia. But the point of speaking on that is, you know, if someone sees something near, you know, the Ohio River in Loveland and then perhaps following one of the tributaries, whatever, here in Illinois, technically it has a way to get there.
Yeah.
If it was, you know, a real flesh and blood type of creature, and it was spotted in one state, and then, I don't know, a few days later, two states away, it's very possible when you have a means of travel such as that.
Yeah, and it's important to know, too, just because they're called the Loveland Frogman, that's just the name they got stuck with, doesn't mean that that's exactly what they look like. So
yeah,
the whole indescribable Octoman could have been related. Fuck, the fucking Hopkinsville goblins could have been the same fucking thing.
Can I touch on that?
Really?
Okay. I do. Just a tad.
So, I mean, like, it all could be connected. It's just like, oh, that's just the way they describe is, like, whoever wrote the articles, that's just what they called them.
Mm-hmm.
Like the fucking Mothman. The only reason it was called the Mothman is because it was described and they took the name from fucking Batman.
Exactly.
So remember that when you read these stories.
So the what I just had touched on prior to this, the CRIFO newsletter, Leonard Stringfield described a humanoid encounter referred to as the Bridge Case. Right here in the nice book of Close Encounters at Kelly and Others of 1955.
Oh, I like that cover.
Oh, yeah. It's a nice cover. It's a nice book.
Is that the Hopkinsville Goblin?
Yes, it is.
Okay. That's what it looks like. Looks fucking terrifying.
So the Bridge Case, as referred to, there's a little excerpt here that says, and this is from a gentleman, I believe, White Cotton, Frank White Cotton. This is his account. He mentioned, I know, what a fucking name.
White Cotton. Is it all cotton white?
Probably not, actually.
I don't know.
But, Frank. Anyway, so he goes on to say, we should like to cite a case involving a prominent businessman living in Loveland. Occurring several weeks ago, this person who is a non-drinker and churchgoer. Wow.
Nothing
trustworthy.
Nothing more honest than a churchgoer.
Yeah. Saw four strange little men about 3 feet tall under a certain bridge. He reported the bizarre affair to the police, and we understand that an armed guard was placed there. A similar event supposedly had taken place near Batavia, Batavia, east of Cincinnati.
Very familiar with that area.
Oh, yeah. So we have a somewhat similar. So we have a case here that talks about four strange little men about 3 feet tall. This happened several weeks ago prior to September 2nd. So we'll just say maybe mid-August or so, early August. And then we have it talking about a Batavia case that I have yet to find. And I think I've heard a few other people talk about this subject and they can't find anything on it. So I'm not sure how to go about finding this Batavia case. Another nice connection here, possibly with the Loveland Frogman, is on July 3rd in 1955, Mrs. Simmons and her husband, I've heard Mrs. Simmons referred to as Margaret and Wesley. I don't know what to go with, but if I feel better with Margaret, so I'm going to stick with that for the sake of this episode. But Margaret and her husband were driving around Stockton in Georgia. They were originally from Cincinnati, weirdly enough. So Margaret was driving with her husband, who was sleeping in the back seat, around 3:30 a.m., around the same time as the Loveland Frogman incident, coincidentally. She noticed what she thought at first was a pack of small animals in the road. As she slowed down to be cautious and check out the situation, she saw that these were no animals. In fact, they were four small men, apparently kind of digging, poking at the road with stick-like objects. One of them had its arms raised above its head. These creatures wore odd little hats and capes like fucking wizards. They were a grayish color. They had large eyes that reflected reddish light. They had large heads. Well, more so speaking, round heads. Short legs, long, lanky arms with claws at the end.
That sounds more like the frogman that you see in most pictures.
Yes, that sounds like if you were to look up Loveland Frogman on Google and look at images, that sounds like what you was, minus maybe the hat and the cape.
Yeah.
But it's funny that this is the same, like, height. And obviously about 700 miles away in Stockton, Georgia is one thing. But like I said, I think Stockton's more south Georgia, right above Florida. And the drainage basin that I was referring to with the Ohio River is kind of a little bit into the north of Georgia. But, I mean, if you really want to stretch, you know, that possible red yarn connection there, I mean, what if something did travel all the way down all through that, and then, I don't know, maybe they just thumbed it, you know, they hitchhiked, they got a ride down to Stockton. I don't know what goes on in Stockton. But on another note with this case, you know how fucking mad I would be if my wife was driving and saw aliens and never woke me up in the backseat?
Yeah, I'd be pretty pissed about that.
Yeah, too. I'd be fucking furious. I'd be like, oh, so yeah, we just had, you know, intergalactic visitors and you just thought, oh, he needs his beauty rest.
Yeah, I'd be like, what the fuck?
I'd hate to wake him up. I got one of those little, like, you know, baby crib things that hang over me from the ceiling of the car. Sings also, a little song.
Yeah, you are right. It is about as southern Georgia as you can get.
Yeah.
Yep. Just a little bit north of Tallahassee.
All right. But yeah, so that case is more so because what's described, you know, a short, grayish, green type of creature with long, lanky arms.
It happens around the same time.
Had its fucking hand over its head and around the same time, July 31st, or excuse me, July 3rd, I think I said. In 1955.
It is always interesting hearing about these, like, separate cases that kind of could possibly, like, be coordinated or...
could kind of coincide with
connected, it. Yeah. It's similar to, like, the Flatwoods Monster case. There was, like, a ship or UFO sighting that happened in, like, Florida, like, earlier that day, that same day or some shit, and people kind of connect those two.
You know, there is more Flatwoods information I have, so we'll have to do another expansive type of episode on that.
Good.
So now we can, another possible relation is on August 21st, 1955, Mrs. Darwin Johnson would come into contact with what is commonly referred to in the world of cryptozoology as the green clawed beast. Now that rings a bell.
Yeah, I was going to say, I've heard about this one.
It's a very kind of minute little encounter. And what had happened was, Mrs. Johnson here and her friend that you'll either come across as Mrs. Lamble or Mrs. like Label, they were swimming in the Ohio River. So that was their first mistake.
Yep.
Near Evansville, Indiana, when all of a sudden Mrs. Johnson felt something grab her leg and supposedly pull her under the water. But whatever had happened there, she was able to break free, I think probably with the help of Mrs. Lamble, and they swam back to shore, in which they saw on Mrs. Johnson's leg, where she had been grabbed, some cuts, some contusions, and I think there was even this kind of vague green hand-like almost imprint on there.
And I just happened to Google, just to kind of give people a little bit of a lay of the land, Evansville from Loveland, it's about 3.5 hours.
3.5 hours?
Yep.
Okay.
Which, if you're traveling by river, not too bad.
No. No traffic.
Nope.
No lights. But August 21st, so that from the first one with Robert was like May. So just a handful of months. We got the Ohio River again. I think the weird green imprints on her leg, doctors really couldn't find a remedy for it. Wasn't sure. It went away on its own, but it took a while. That is
me like Creature from the Black Lagoon. Creature from the Black Lagoon vibes.
Well, it's funny you say that because I do have that connection in this outline.
Yeah.
Because that's one thing that I didn't think too much on until we did the Dissector's Cut podcast and we talked about the Creature from the Black Lagoon.
Ah, yeah.
Yeah.
Which that podcast isn't coming back just yet. Maybe in the future. Just throw it out there.
Okay. Okay. That's all you, buddy. You do you whenever you want to do you.
Yes.
I'll do you. What? So the Green Clawed Beast, yeah, it's interesting how the Creature from the Black Lagoon came out about a year prior to that. And I mean, the creature, I do believe, attacks the female character in a very similar way, grabbing her by the leg and pulling her under. And obviously, it's green. It's amphibious. We got the Loveland Frogman that's somewhat green, gray, and amphibious. There's a lot. It's the same thing like King Kong, the original King Kong, when they had like a plesiosaur.
Yep.
I believe, in like one of the caves of the island that Skull Island that Kong is on. And then later is when we start getting Nessie accounts.
Yep.
So people are like, okay, is Nessie a real deal? Or is it someone just using their imagination from the help of the original King Kong movie with that plesiosaur? Same thing comes not with just the whole Loveland Frogman thing in general, but mostly from the Green Clawed Beast account. Like perhaps they just were like, using the idea of the Creature from the Black Lagoon.
Yeah, possible.
4 days after that incident with the Green Clawed Beast, a group driving through Green Hills, Ohio, apparently saw a quote-unquote luminous creature standing near a fire hydrant. That's all I got. Probably a radioactive dog taking a piss. Obviously, we have the Kelly Hopkinsville event, which, if you don't know what that is, whew.
You never did an episode on that, right?
No, we didn't. It's a big one. But
we need to.
The residents of Hopkinsville, I think it's Hopkinsville, but it's near Kelly.
Yeah.
Which is why it's kind of the Kelly Hopkinsville event. Essentially, you know, one night a bunch of family members were just kind of partying in the house, and all of a sudden they saw a big light in the sky, and it landed in the back of their yard, and
apparently led to a shootout.
Led to a shootout of a bunch of a little kind of almost metallic type of aliens, maybe 3 to 4 feet. You know, in height, they had that grayish color. They had the big, lanky arms, you know, very similar to what is described as the Loveland Frogman. But yeah, that's that case. And
synchronicity.
Then there's even a case that's referred to as the Smelly Little Man of Loveland Heights.
Which?
Is you.
I was going to say, just joking about synchronicities, you know. Again, there's the fucking Hellier incident.
Yeah, and the whole documentary on little tiny series,
little tiny creatures in caves that people connect with the Kelly Hopkinsville. Who knows? Maybe they're connected to the Loveland Frogman. Ohio in Kentucky and Indiana, it's all fucking weird, and I love it. And
yeah,
goddamn, there's so many connections, little green people.
So the Smelly Little Man of Loveland Heights revolves around Mrs. Emily Magnoni. I'm not sure how to say the last name, and her husband. They were awakened by their dog barking, and then when they
That's the dog's name, Barking.
Yeah, shut up, Barky! So, the dog was barking. They got up, probably like I would. Fucking little piece of shit. I'll fucking punt you right out that goddamn door. They went to go check on it, see what was going on. They looked outside for, like, intruders. It was kind of running around, just barking out the windows. They couldn't see anything. Then they smelled a foul odor, which I can't help but think about this case in the way of, like, the Mad Gasser Mattoon.
Yeah.
That's how I'm thinking. Now, I don't think they saw any odor, but nonetheless, they smelled it. And then, I guess, just like any typical, I don't know, middle-aged American white family, they just said, fuck this, I'm going back to bed. So they did. But the neighbor also woke up from the dog barking and was like, what the fuck's going on out there? So she walked out. I don't think she walked out to her back porch, but to the window where her back porch is, and was looking around, and she could make out about 15 feet away some black silhouette, some type of entity out there that was about 3 to 4 feet tall. And so when she would go and turn on her porch light, apparently the thing would disappear. And then, of course, you know, she'd squint her eyes and she'd look a little bit kind of confused, maybe blink a little rapidly, like, what the fuck? Turn the light back off, and it appears back there again. Huh. Same spot. Now, of course, that makes me think.
So it's like Lights Out.
Exactly. It makes me think of Lights Out. It makes me think of, like, a reflection in the window that she is portraying outside. Yeah. And obviously, when you turn the light on, that would get rid of it. But she did it a couple times, and more or less, it would disappear when the light was on, and then when the light went out, it'd be kind of in its same spot. But I think there was a point where she turned around, did something, came back, it was gone.
With the whole smell thing, my first thought was a skunk.
Sure.
And then, like, talking about up until the point that you were like, she flipped the lights off and on, and it disappeared. Because, like, have you seen skunks stand on, like, their hind legs?
Yep.
So, or like, I guess sometimes they do their front legs. So, like, I mean, like, imagine, like, this picture. I just Googled skunk standing up, and there's a picture where it's, like, tail is, like, all furled out. Imagine, like, seeing that. Like, I would immediately at night be like, oh, what the fuck? That's an alien.
Now, what's interesting about that picture you just showed me, because the tail is all furled, it almost looks like a big leaf or tree.
Yeah.
So, the neighbor here talks about how, obviously, she can't really see it in the dark, and when she turns the light on, it's gone. But what she can make out of it is she said it looks like it was covered in some type of foliage. And I will say that skunk, that tail, looks kind of like a leaf, maybe a small bush or so, and maybe it was, you know, ready to just do what skunks do best.
I mean, like, straight up, like, if I saw that in my yard, I would think that was a creature, like an alien or some shit.
Now, I wonder how long they'll do that for.
I have no idea.
Like, I wonder if they can just stand on their hind legs or stand on their front legs for fucking 5 minutes with their ass in the air and just spray.
Yeah. Because the more I look at this, the more I'm like, wow, interesting.
I thought of skunk, but I did not think of them doing that. But that does kind of correlate with her idea of some type of, you know, foliage, leaf, twigs type of look.
That's just where my mind went for that story, just because of the foul odor and about the height.
Yeah. And I mean, obviously, the skunk does that when it feels like it's in danger and it's trying to protect itself.
Because obviously, skunk with the dog barking and everything.
Absolutely that, yes.
And because I was like, well, if they're standing up, like, they're not going to be that big, but with a tail up too, that adds to the height. So
that's like anteaters. Yeah. There's that one video of an anteater on its hind legs. It's kind of like walking a little bit like to the left, to the right, but coming at you. And it looks like a fucking garden gnome has come to life.
Yep.
It's actually really creepy. So those are some just events that happened around the same time that more or less do show a lot of similarities when it comes to the characteristics and appearance of these creatures, whatever they might be. So at the peak of press publicity about the Kelly Hopkinsville and other closely related incidents around this time, the Air Force, obviously, like it did with a lot of Blue Book cases, you know, it tries to, quote unquote, I guess you could say, rationalize and awfully explain things away. So they released a report concerning UFOs and their pilots around this time. But they, while they were counteracting these reports, Captain Robert White of the Air Force Office of Information in Washington told a Scripps Howard reporter about the last 4 years worth of sightings and encounters typically show that one or more people come into contact with 3 to 4 foot tall, humanoid, greenish in color. They usually glow, I'm not sure why, but usually glow, creatures, and they often smell very bad. So the idea of just these handful of accounts that I've, you know, kind of briefly described about people encountering these type of creatures, it's very, very common, especially during these 4 years, which encompassed 55, probably to 59, I would say at this point. Yeah, he's like, that's not unheard of. We actually get quite a bit of those. And what's really interesting about Robert White and what he uncovered was that apparently the publicized reports, none of them described bad odors. Only the ones that were never told had the odors. Interesting distinction, but I could not for the life of me figure out if that was, say, one of the reasons why those were kept secret and the other ones could be publicized is because of a strange odor. Why would it be that?
Yeah, that's interesting.
What about that strange odor would require you to keep it in secrecy? So as you've probably realized by now, and obviously you and I have touched on it a fair amount in this episode, but a lot of what you would think would just detail a typical cryptid type of story has really gone the route of UFOs and aliens, especially like the Air Force pilots discussing their UFOs, because an interesting thing that happened around this time.
Bigfoot is a cosmonaut.
Have you heard of the Ground Observer Corps?
No.
So really, I'm trying to think how to properly describe this because I don't have it written down anywhere. What the GOC was at the time of around the Cold War, there were literally just like these little stations that were put up, kind of like watchtowers in a way, and volunteers, I think at least mainly volunteers, would literally go in these watchtowers throughout the night and just keep your eyes on the sky. And you look for, in a sense, anomalous phenomena, but what you're really trying to see is if, you know, planes go by or, you know, because nukes were typically just in the form of bombs dropped from a plane. So what they would try to do is they would try to kind of like man the skies from the ground. And then if you saw anything that possibly entered, you know, restricted airspace or whatever it might be, you could report, I think it was Columbus, somewhere in Columbus. The reason I bring that up is because during this time with all of these encounters, there were GOC stations all around, and people were actively in him. Ah. And I believe someone during the Honeycutt encounter in 1955, there were like three or four, I guess you would say UFOs that were spotted. Apparently, Mrs. Johnson of the Green Clawed Beast encounter, she said that she saw one, almost looked like it came from Kentucky over to Ohio, crossing the river, which is kind of interesting because I do believe the Hopkinsville incident happened before hers, which could be them leaving Kentucky and coming over to Ohio. But there were a lot of these sightings by just your average, you know, civilian in these watchtowers during this handful of 3 or 4 months. Something interesting to note.
Yeah.
If there is a connection with these, at you would think at once cryptids, maybe they're not. Now, if they're aliens, why are they here? I'm not exactly sure. Another connection with the Loveland Frogman and the lore of it is with some indigenous peoples. So sometime around 1696, for instance,
I was there.
There were a group of French missionaries. There was a group of French missionaries that befriended a tribe of Indians who lived along the rivers of southwestern Ohio.
Don't trust them. They're French.
This tribe is believed to be part of the Miami culture, but were known as the Twaitwee by the Delaware people. Now, an interesting note there is some of the encounters. I think more specifically, which I haven't talked about this episode, you'd have to go listen to the original Loveland Frogman episode, but it was for the police officers in 72. I believe both of those encounters of Ray Shockey and Mark Matthews encountered on the intersection of like Madeira Loveland and Twaitwee Road. So obviously that was named after the indigenous people that inhabited that area. Well, believe it or not, they actually had a legend about this river-dwelling demon known as the Shawnahook.
Ooh, I like that name.
I do too. It was human-like, kind of small in stature, wrinkled skin, no nose. And there was even a Twaitwee hunting party that was a symbol to hunt the beast down. But after they found it, shot some arrows at it, didn't seem to do anything. It just hopped back into the river. And then for a fair amount of time afterwards, they said that their, I guess their tribe, like their location was kind of ransacked in a way by these beasts that would come back and kind of terrorize them.
Bastards.
But that, so we have a connection that predates even when Loveland was around. Same area of the Ohio River, Little Miami, but just nowhere when Loveland was around. And then we have the creation of Loveland, and then we still get reports, supposedly, of these things. Now, the police officers, again, back into the original Loveland Frogman episode, one of them, if not both, I know Mark Matthews came out saying it was a hoax, it's just a big iguana. Of course, then you think, well, why did you fucking shoot at it? Because he did shoot at it. And then people were like, well, don't you kind of have to keep track of your bullets? Like, you're not supposed to be just all willy-nilly on that. That's a whole other story because there's a debate if he really did or not shoot at this thing.
Been told to make up something.
Or was told to make up something. You know, perhaps they did actually see something and described it like they saw, but since they got so much ridicule and flack for it, they're like, all right, you know what? Fine. I'm just going to, like it's been 50 years. I don't really give a shit anymore at this moment, so I'm just going to say it was all a hoax. I'm going to say it was a big, tailless iguana that someone let out because they couldn't handle anymore, even though a tailless iguana that was 4 feet, not unheard of, but that's a big boy.
Uh-huh.
That's a big boy.
Yeah.
And then, yeah. Typically, well, today's world of 2016, back in 2016 when we had the Pokemon Go incident, there's that. So we got sightings that date back to 1696 of supposed amphibious fish-like creature things. Then again, is it really something that's here on Earth? Or if it is real, was it something that came by other means? Now, one thing I would like to note, on the opposite spectrum of believing in this cryptid, obviously we have to go a bit skeptical, because for me personally, I'm a fairly skeptical believer, or at least I really want to be, and that is this company called Totes. Now, why is that relevant, Matthew? Well, I would say it probably plays a bigger part than you would imagine. So Totes has had a fair amount of...
How's it spelled?
T-O-T-E-S.
Okay. I thought you said toads, and I was just like, hi!
Oh, yeah. Could you imagine if this company, you know, it had its dealings with this, and it's called Toads?
So Toads, that's why I was like, wait a second.
No, Toads, like when you put
then
stuff...
Then I immediately thought a toad from Super Mario, and...
Like when you put Christmas decorations and you put them away in the basement, a tote.
Okay, totes.
Okay. They have had a fair amount of name changes since their startup back in like early 1900s. Originally, it was known as the Rollo Radio Company, and it was a mail order radio kit supplier. And this was about April 9th, 1924 that we know of this. Then it became the Perfect Manufacturing Company Incorporated. Pretty high standard.
Yeah, I was going to say, come on now.
Around May 26th, 1931. Then in 1942, the Perfect Manufacturing Company Incorporated purchased a factory, guess where?
Loveland.
In Loveland, on Twitwee Road, to move production means to said Loveland. Then the Perfect Manufacturing, Factory Incorporated became known as Solo Works Incorporated shortly after in May of 1943. It was then purchased in 1961 and 1965, in which it changed its name to Totes Incorporated, because that name was taken after some of its more famous products of the same name. Coincidentally, to this legend here, included among these products that Totes sold was the world's finest Scuba Totes dry suit. Supposedly, this item was marketed around a year after a prototype was tested in the Little Miami River in 1957.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Even then, prior to the Scuba Totes dry suit, the company had thigh-high fishing waders that came to market in 1955.
Hot.
And in 1956, they had trouser totes, which were strong, durable, lightweight leggings for deer hunters.
Oh, fuck.
I know, man. I'm getting you fucking hot and bothered, am I not? So I couldn't find an exact date on when the Scuba Totes went into production, or even how long perhaps their pre-production phases were. Because if it came to market in 1957, I would think there was a considerable amount of time prior to that in which they were developing prototypes and testing it. And to be quite honest, if you're on Twitwee Road and you're 30 feet from the Little Miami River, where two incidents of witnessing the Loveland Frogman in 1972 occurred, and not too far from Robert Honeycutt, I would say that's a pretty decent connection on the, again, realm of skepticism of what it could have been.
Yeah.
So the product, this scuba dry suit, included a three-piece jumper type suit consisting of trousers with booties attached, a jumper top and head, and then a patch kit was included. So it gave the leathery look, skin tight, all the way down to the feet. And even the feet had, again, booties, which I believe are like flippers.
Yeah.
I could be wrong. The product described as being made from a tough, stretchy, anti-grab, seamless rubber. It has also been advertised as allowing divers to endure colder waters for longer periods of time. No cold shocks when entering the water, and no evaporation chills when exiting. In author Jay Crawford's book, Underwater Work, the suit is actually listed in the appendix as the Rubber Frogman Suit.
Oh, shit.
So imagine this rubbery, skin-tight suit paired with perhaps big goggles, could look like big eyes, you know, and flippers. God knows what else. I guess maybe a flashlight, because, I mean, portable flashlights were before 1900.
Yeah. Or even that, or like some kind of, like, I don't know if they had like the glow stick kind of thing.
Even a glow stick.
Like that.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure they had, they probably did have something like that.
Or even fucking like flares or something like that.
Yeah. Not to mention this product, one of the colors it came in was dark green.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I mean, that can give a pretty good image in your mind of what someone who is hyped up on adrenaline, not sure what's going on.
Well, yeah, I mean, like if you're coming around a corner, you're expecting it. Doesn't quite explain the height.
No, it does not explain the height. It does not explain, I mean, you know, some of the looks like we just saw from that guy's fantastic drawing that should be in a museum. Yeah. That doesn't explain that.
Yeah, so it explains some of it, but it doesn't explain all of it, which still leaves a little bit of room for potential.
Now, the incident it best fits with is probably the 2016 Pokemon Go incident.
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
100% that looks like probably someone in a diver suit.
Yeah.
And they had, maybe that was a headlamp on, or maybe their big-ass goggles were reflecting light that they had.
Yeah.
Unless
they had, like, kids testing it, but...
Why?
Yeah.
Another thing...
Because...
It depends what you have in your vicinity to judge height with.
Yeah. Because, I don't know, like, yeah, the height's a hard one. I mean, I think it's easier to judge something to be shorter than, like, taller. You hear that with, like, a lot of the Sasquatch case. It's like, oh, it's 7 feet, 8 feet tall.
Yeah.
I don't know how fucking tall that is, but as somebody who is 5'3", I at least know something that's short.
Well, I mean, you obviously know something that's shorter and taller than 5'3". You might not be able to say, oh, it's 5'6.5".
Yeah.
But you know something that is shorter and taller than 5'3". And I know something that is shorter and taller than 6'4".
And usually things that are shorter, the limbs are somewhat proportioned to the size. So,
Yeah, that's another thing. Unless this thing or these guys in these suits, if for some reason there were three guys in these scuba suits on the side of the road kneeling down so they'd be shorter, and maybe that's how you couldn't tell what the feet were like because they were just knees.
Yeah.
But why you would come over the rise in the road and then get out with your headlights and no one would be like, hey.
Yeah.
Like they're just going to with their glow sticks in their hands.
Yeah.
That doesn't make sense at all.
Well, this guy's going to distract from our experiment. Let's go.
Of course, to be fair, I can see myself doing that. I could be like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to buy a fucking scuba suit. I'm going to swim in the river behind my house and I'm just going to scare the shit out of people for no reason.
I can see it.
Mm-hmm. And then the next day when I get online and like on fucking Yahoo News, it's like, you know, local dipshit scares residents or something like that and has my picture just playing right there. I'm like, oh, well, that didn't work out as well as I wanted to. Kind of wish I didn't do that now.
Yeah, it is interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So for me, obviously back in the day in 2020 when we did the Loveland Frogman, I looked at it as no more than a cryptid. Mm-hmm. And of course I had my speculating, like, probably not. It's probably not around. Even though I do believe in that episode, a friend of ours texted me with a cryptid sighting in Loveland. I think it was.
I don't remember.
No, it was someone. I think it was a bunch of people both ways of traffic stopped and saw something grayish pink, kind of furless, just run across the bridge. I'm hesitant to say that it's exactly what people describe as like a bipedal frog, but I am not hesitant to speak on the fact that this seems much more to me like a UFO / extraterrestrial type of case than an actual cryptid.
Yep.
I think I have finally taken that step, especially with all of the other incidents around it.
It definitely seems like if it is a real thing, it definitely has more ties with aliens than...
Yeah, just by what I've spoke about here.
Yeah.
Yeah, it clearly touches on that. Now, I mean, the Ohio River has a very diverse ecology, you know, and obviously everything it touches with, again, the tributaries and the drainage basin is this exact same way. And I don't know, could a frog mutate and grow 10 times? I'm sure. Now, I don't know if the frog could walk on its hind legs, but I could easily see just a random, you could say, quote-unquote, freak of nature incident happen where a frog grows like 15 times its size. We've seen it with other creatures. And so what's to make a frog any different?
I just Googled the world's largest frogs, and this popped up, and I'm like, man.
Dude, now see that? I mean, that's probably 3 fucking feet. Uh-huh. Again, that's from tip of the head to the toes. He's just holding it up. Yeah. Now, if that thing could learn to run on its hind legs, which, to be honest, I wouldn't be surprised if some frogs and or toads could do that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you see...
And who's,
I mean, you see like the little lizards
that whatever, run on the water.
Yeah.
Who's, well, I was just going to say that image popped in my mind. Who's to say that this was actually a frog or toad? I mean, it could have been just some kind of amphibian.
Yeah.
And they do run on their hind legs. Some do. Granted, they're not 3 to 4 feet tall, because that would be a lot of weight for their hind legs to carry. However, with the momentum, maybe add a little bit of velocity, perhaps, depending on how you're running there, Mr. Frog. Maybe they could keep up.
It's possible.
Or, you know, maybe just that wand, they literally have fucking magic. But yeah, that's the new information I have dove into and have uncovered about the Loveland Frogman.
I liked it.
I do too.
I learned
a lot. I'm actually, I even though I wish these things to be true, when I find a possible worldly explanation, like a scuba suit and how it ties in with where the location was at, what they made and how they tested it, I love that almost equally as much.
Or could it all just be a ruse and they planted? They're like, oh, this area is getting these sightings, so we're going to build this facility, or we're going to just say that we make these suits.
Maybe. I do have a lot of images that show, like, the Totes Company and their suits advertised.
Oh,
and
it could be real, but they could all just be a plant. Just be like, okay,
what kind of plant?
I don't know.
Carnation?
Yes.
Okay, well, cool. Thanks. Thanks for agreeing.
Who knows? It's the government. We can't trust them.
No. It's man, especially, again, with what's going on up north in Ohio right now with that choo-choo.
Exactly. Who knows?
I'm feeling a fucking cover-up, man. when I see Mike DeWine talk and the EPA and the fucking CEO of Norfolk Southern.
The Trander element, it's just the fucking alien from Super 8.
Oh, now that would be cool. 1.8 miles of train, just that's the sound it made.
Huh?
When it was,
and there's been
when
other Trander elements happening all over the fucking U.S., so something's up.
Oh, no. And it's all because braking that they used from 1850, steam-powered.
We're not getting into this conspiracy theory because I'll fucking lose my mind.
But yeah, that was an update on the Loveland Frogman. That was some more hidden information that
I liked
has been uncovered. Yeah.
I liked it.
Did you like it?
I did.
Did you like it better than the original?
I did.
Good, because the original does suck. I listen back, I'm like,
listen, it was the 10th episode. You're still learning. This is
if I could choke on my own dick, I would.
This is a fresh start.
It is a fresh start.
For us.
Together.
And I'm excited. I enjoyed this. It feels good to be back.
It does. I feel empowered.
It feels like nothing's changed, even though a lot has changed. But
we don't have the girls here anymore. We don't have the nice woman perspective that was nice to break apart this icky, gross man energy now that's just reverberating throughout my room.
Yep.
Oh, can't say too much. Andrew Tate might be listening, coming to kick my ass.
But yeah, no. I'm excited to be back and get this started again and build from this. And I've missed you. I've missed doing this.
Oh, I've missed you too.
I've missed our listeners. I've missed doing all of our like listener tales, especially during the Halloween. I really miss that.
Yeah, that was a big hit on me personally. But rest assured, this year, everything will go back to quote unquote normal.
Yep.
So with that said, don't forget the inaugural Loveland Frogman Festival, March 4th. This March 4th. When you're hearing this, it's literally the March 4th in like 4 days, 3 days.
2 days.
2 days.
However long it takes Matt to get this out.
Yeah, you could be listening to it and going, what fucking day? Oh my God, it's March 4th. Well, then you better fucking hurry to the Great Wolf Lodge.
You could be listening to this on your way there.
Yeah, in Mason? Is it Mason? Mason, Ohio?
Sure.
Great Wolf Lodge? Great Wolf Lodge?
We should probably know because we're going to be there. We're going to have a booth.
We are going to have a booth. It's a very shitty booth. Very shitty booth. But we'll be there. And if you want to come hang and get to know us on a much more personal, intimate level, you can't. We could talk about things all cryptid. We can talk about, you know, how to clean your colon. Whatever you want to do.
Sure.
Pictures that were $10 a piece.
Oh, we're charging? Okay.
And we keep them.
Okay. I doubt anybody's going to want a picture with us. But if you do, that's fine. We aren't charging. I'm not going to charge. Jesus fucking Christ.
Sorry, my nose is a little bit runny.
I'm not going to charge. You can take pictures with me for free.
Wow. Okay. Well, I'm going to stick with my crony capitalism here. So don't hop on this train. But otherwise, I'll derail you.
But if you want to make donations, you know, that's fine.
Oh, yeah. We should have a tip jar.
Should.
I'm going to have a tip jar. I wonder if I'm allowed to, like, write raunchy shit.
I wouldn't. Kids are going to be there.
So it's a great learning experience.
You want to be family friendly.
Depends what type of family you're asking for.
God damn it.
I'm just saying, kids have to learn someday.
I don't want to have to teach them.
I'll gladly teach them. Or better yet, have it to where they go, Dad, what's cocksucker? And then I'm like, it's all you, buddy. So yeah, don't forget to hit us up on social media. You know, Facebook, Instagram, The Farthest Reaches, Twitter at TFRPod. Official, the farthest reaches podcast at gmail.com. You can hit us straight to the email if you got stories from you or from perhaps someone you know and you could speak on their behalf, whether you want to conceal who they are or who you are or whatever. That's all up to you. We would love to hear what's going on out there because, you know, we can't have eyes and ears everywhere. We would like it, but that would require mutilating corpses, and we don't want to do that because we could probably get sent to jail.
Yeah.
If they can find me.
I wouldn't make it in jail.
You don't think so?
No.
Not if I'm there, you won't. But yeah,
like that.
Hit us up on social media. The website, thefatherstreachespodcast.com. It needs to be updated at the time that you're hearing me speak about it. However, it does exist.
I'm going to say, that's all you.
And it's got all of our episodes on there. It's got pictures you can see related to the episodes. Just like this episode, you'll see pictures there. Ooh. And you can read little pieces about the speakers. Me and Josh, and just how we know each other and how we came to be with the podcast. When we have more things under our belt, like merch or other events that we will be attending, that will also be on the website. So if for whatever reason you're waiting on an episode to hear an up-to-date TFR, you know, speech, something, you can always go to the Farthest Reaches podcast. .com and see everything we're doing right there, or Twitter, or Facebook, or Instagram. We do have a group, the Farthest Reaches group. There are a couple questions that you need to answer so we know you're not a robot. Okay? And then you can talk to a whole bunch of like-minded people, such as ourselves, about anything and everything related to the strange 14 phenomena of the world. And so, since I am done talking now and I want to go eat and I got to put an IKEA shelf together, I guess I'm going to get off.
I have been Josh.
I.
God damn it.
Had the time of my life. Never felt as well before.
Woo! Yeah.
I swear. This is true. And I owe it all to you. Hey everyone, we here at the Farthest Reaches want to say thank you, because you, the listeners, make all of this possible. Please share our podcast with your friends, your family, or total strangers. You can find and connect with us on Facebook at the Farthest Reaches Podcast, Instagram at the Farthest Reaches, or Twitter at TFRPodOfficial. There, we will be posting all sorts of strange stuff and updates for upcoming episodes and whatever else we get ourselves into. If you would like to share a personal story by chance, then you can reach us at our email, thefarthestreachespodcast@gmail.com. We would love to hear from you, and maybe we will even tell your story to the world. In the meantime, though, explore the elusive, seek the knowledge of the obscure, and together, we can translate this strange language of reality into something that we can understand. With that said, thanks for tuning in.